So, Chairman Glock, you're free to begin whenever you're ready. And you're on mute.
Welcome everyone to the March 12th Public Art and Community Design Committee meeting. With that, I will ask Sadie to run a roll call to verify our quorum. Sadie, you're on.
Thank you. Adrian Ackerman?
Present.
Ann Lopez?
Here.
Corinne Cooper?
Here.
Leanne Hernandez?
Here.
Thank you. Emily Tate?
Here.
Jim Glock?
Present.
Janet Fisher?
Here.
Maureen Lewick?
Here.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Can you verbally state that you're here for the record?
Here.
Thank you. Nancy Fung?
Here.
Robert Clark? Valerie Sanchez? Valerie Sipp?
Here.
Thank you. Alicia Vasquez? Brandon Varela and Kathleen Velo. And you do have quorum.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is introduction of our guests and staff members in attendance. So with that, those of you who are guests, if you could step up and introduce yourselves, that'd be great. I'll pick on somebody I don't know, CJ Boyd.
Hello, and yeah, thanks for having me. This is my first meeting. I am new in the District 3 office. Oh. Jen, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. For Jen Allen, who was just elected in November, and we just took office in January. So I will be attending these meetings. And yeah, as Corinne mentioned, I was formerly at the city in Ward 3, about 3 years. So excited to be a part of this.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
Adrian, we're here from the Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association.
Okay. Arts Foundation staff, quickly step up, say your name, say hi.
Hi everyone, Sadie Shaw, Public Art and Community Design Administrator.
Thank you.
Hi everybody, Wilwin Reyes, Director of Public Art.
Thank you, Wilwin.
Hi, Ariel Fry, Public Art Coordinator.
Thank you, Ariel.
Hi, I'm Yu. I'm the Public Art Collections Associate.
Excellent. Okay, whom have I missed? Anybody? With that, we'll move on.
Penn Macias hasn't introduced.
Oh, I'm sorry, Penn.
No, I'm sorry. I was looking for the unmute button. I'm Penn Macias, and I'm a local artist.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else I missed? Hearing none, we'll move on. Item 3, Pledge of Allegiance or Moment of Silence. I'll elect to do a 1 minute moment of silence. Those of you who care to state your Pledge of Allegiance may take this time to do so, but otherwise I'll start the 1 minute now. So back in 60 seconds. Very good. With that, we'll move on to item four, call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this agenda item is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion of the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who address the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussions and legal action. Do we have anyone signed up for a call to the audience, Sadie?
Yes, we do. Felix Morris.
Okay. Hello, Felix. You're on.
Hello. Hello. Am I visible to the committee?
Your name is?
Is my face visible to the committee?
I do not see you.
Could we have that fixed, please? My 3 minutes will begin when I become visible to the committee. I'm not going to waste time, though. I'll just go on with my presentation. I have a question for the committee today. Is the Arts Foundation subject to freedom of information laws? I had always assumed that it was not because it's a private entity, but recently Pato sent a little snippet of Arizona state law suggesting that the Arts Foundation might be subject to freedom of information laws or public record laws. And I was hoping that somebody, anybody, could articulate an opinion about that, because I'm wondering how this committee can do its job of providing oversight to the Arts Foundation if those documents are secret. If the committee and the public has no access to documents in the possession of the Arts Foundation, how can this committee provide oversight? I don't understand that. Anyway, I was hoping the committee might put that on the agenda for the next meeting so that we could have someone articulate an opinion about that. So the first item on our agenda today is always the most important, and that is freedom of expression in public art. Currently, we don't have any. All public art projects are subject to government control and censorship, as you know. A few months ago, the mayor asked the city attorney for an opinion about PACTI's free wall resolution that was passed more than 2 years ago. We've been waiting for that opinion several months, and I'm hoping, Ms. Ackerman, that we can draw a line in the sand and say after a certain number of months that Rankin is simply going to blow off the mayor and he's not going to give her an opinion. I'm hoping that we can do that so we can stop sitting around waiting for an opinion that may never arrive. Anyway, there is no legal question to be resolved here. The city definitely has the legal authority to create a designated public forum. It also has the authority to destroy that. If it changes its mind, it can destroy the forum later. The real question to Rankin is it worth the liability and risk? For example, the city of Tucson has swimming pools available to the public. This is a huge liability, but the city thinks that swimming is so important, it provides these swimming pools despite the large liability. And the same might apply to the free wall, that freedom of speech is so important that the city is willing to take on legal liability to provide freedom of speech to the public. Again, I don't think we should just sit around forever waiting for a legal opinion that may not arrive. And let me just return to my first point. Is the Arts Foundation subject to freedom of information or public records laws? Does anyone have an opinion? Could this committee please put that on the agenda for next meeting so that we could, because otherwise, how can you do your job? How can you provide oversight if you don't have access to documents? Those are my comments for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Felix.
Was I ever visible to the committee?
You're still not visible.
Okay. Are my 3 minutes up then? I believe that the public should be visible to the committee.
I agree.
Anyway, thank you for your time today.
All right. Thank you, Felix. Do we have anyone else signed up to speak to call the audience, Sadie?
No, we do not.
All right. With that, do the board members have any comment on Felix's comments of import?
We can't comment on that, Jim.
That's true. I mean, we can comment on whether you want to agendize items and or as I specified at the beginning of this agenda item.
If I have a question about a document that I've received from Mr. Lawrence, is it possible for me to ask that question?
I'll defer to Sadie, our parliamentarian.
I would just reach out separately outside of the meeting.
I would like to ask a specific question about documents received from the public.
Yeah, I would say just keep any comments to either the topic raised by the member of the public or just reach out to me separately outside of the meeting since it's not agendized.
I think this is a topic that we should all have information about.
Okay. And we could provide guidance and maybe agendize it after speaking with the chair outside of the meeting.
I'll chime in just a little bit. Interactions outside of the meetings are kind of separate matter, and in the way that you're getting any solicitations was not, like, we didn't provide emails, so they found ways to find you. So I do think it's important because I think it's everybody getting a number of folks. But I think if the panel does want to agendize it, you know, me and Sadie, we can look into PCC rules and see what sort of we can do and reach out to them.
The question, am I required under our public records law to retain copies of the correspondence and any additions that I am mailed by a member of the public?
I would say you're not required to maintain anything that's sent to you outside of our meeting, if that's helpful. But yeah, we can talk about it after the meeting since it's not a topic that's agendized. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, then we'll move on to item 5, committee member activity report. This item is placed on the agenda for any committee member to share items that may be of interest to other committee members. I have only one item, and that is on April 26th, the Warehouse Arts Management Organization is having a fundraiser at the Steinfeld Warehouse. All are welcome. Go to the WAMO website to get more information. The theme this year is WAMO Cabaret. So get your cabaret costumes out and come join us. I'll be dressing up as Liza. So with that, anyone else have any items they'd like to share?
I have something. Just wanted to let you all know that I sit on the board of the Southwest Folklife Alliance, and we currently have a mentor apprentice program that is application is open through the end of March. I've shared that information with Sadie to send out to everyone. If you're interested, you can reach out. I don't have it. There's no tone chat for me to send it to you with. So, but yeah, so that. Award has been given out to about 80 traditional artists in our state, and so I just wanted to let you all know that was available. Thank you. Great. So much.
Thank you, Leanne. Aiden, you get your hand up.
I do. Jim and Leanne, can you send those things to Sadie so that Sadie can send them out to us? Because I would love to see that opportunity, and I don't want to miss Jim as life. And then also, just to report, I did check back in with the mayor's office just to speak to Mr. Lawrence's comment, and I still haven't heard anything back. So maybe we'll bring that back up at the agendizing moment, but thought it pertinent to share.
Good. Thank you, Adrian. Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll move on then to item 6, the Public Art Director's Report. Willen, you're on.
Hello, thank you, Jim. Can you hear me okay?
A little trouble there at the beginning. I think I'm good now.
Okay, yes.
You're still cutting out, Willen.
Oh. Okay. How's that? Is that better? These IT improvements to make things worse.
Yeah.
How's that?
I can hear you now. You do tend to cut in and out, so that's the issue.
Okay, so you can hear me clearly. It's just not coming through consistently. Unfortunately, I'll try my best. If I can see you better, I can see you better. And maybe you can read my lips, because I'll try and talk slowly. Continued tech errors on our end. But hopefully this will be resolved by next month. We just started this tech stuff last month.
You are coming through on the closed captions, even though I can't hear you clearly. So if someone's interested, they could turn them on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. How's that? Okay, I don't want to take too much time. So hopefully you read the report. I'll skip my little speech about it, but essentially what I wanted to talk about this month is to take a step back. I did this last month about the work we do, look at the bigger picture, and I think that bigger picture is ensuring that the public art in this city reflects our diverse community's values, culture, and history. First and foremost, I think it should tell a story of who we are, the sense of place, the sense of belonging. And that's something that I think we should always think about when we're doing this work, and we get a lot of, you know, responses from the community and others. And I think that's partially because of trust building and, you know, the discussions about information and what's available. We work for the city, so we process and provide information that we're allowed to, and we do the best we can. So I would like to maybe consider the Public Art Education Subcommittee platform to talk about this, to bring this to the table. Maybe we could have like a public forum. We could break bread together, you know, have a meal. Everyone is invited to the table, of course. Technically, everyone must be invited to abide by BCC rules and ensure that we don't break BCC rules. So the first step that I always talked about is the subcommittee forming. And the first step is really to reach out to Jim to create the subcommittee. I don't want me or my team to direct it too much, because I feel that may just appear to be like we're guiding you all and telling you all what to do. And that's the sort of perception that I want to try and clear up by having this committee move forward, the subcommittee move forward with an education plan. And, you know, meeting folks where they are and outside of these meetings, like we can do a little bit more if you are willing to go out and meet in public with us. But I do also thank you for your dedication, your resolve, and for being the heart of the work we do. I know it doesn't always feel like it, but we are making a difference. Other than that, and if you read it, sorry, I feel like I got sappy, but most people probably don't. Just hear some pretty stoic about things. But it's a new year, and I think we should start thinking about going beyond the facts and the rules and trying to be more human with one another. So the public art work plan got a little bit of a facelift. If you look at it, I made it to 8.5 by 11 principal pages, so you can share it with your community members and your council members. And the first page is the overview. It just shows what, how many projects we're working on, what type of projects, what wards and districts those projects are going to be in, and the funding mechanisms behind the current projects. The second page is a Kanban of upcoming projects that are going to be launched. And as you know, that data is always changing. It won't be official until we launch the RFQ publicly. Last thing, RFQ for the newly renamed Danny Lopez Park, formerly Christopher Columbus Park, is going to launch next Thursday. So when that's shared, please share it with your constituents. You can simply repost our social media post or direct people to our website, search for Danny Lopez RFQ. That's all I have. Hopefully you're able to hear me or at least read. Zoom's really good captions now. It's got a lot better. Any questions? I see Corinne has her hand up. Hi, Corinne.
Yes, I wondered if we had completed the membership of the committee for the Danny Lopez project. I had sent a couple of people to Adrian, but I to Ariel, but I didn't know whether that committee is completely constituted yet.
Yes, we have 7 members, so that is a complete panel. We could always accept 2 more, but right now we have a complete panel.
And the more the merrier, well, not the more the merrier, 7 to 9, any more than that, then getting consensus is challenging. Maybe before I ask that, I was just going to say I'm excited about
Well, when you're trailing off, we can't hear you at all.
Is it? Okay. Is that better? I will get this resolved, I promise.
Okay.
So just excited about Penn joining us today to talk about community and art. Adrian?
Willen, I didn't think it was too sappy. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very sweet. Thank you for director's report note. I guess I just have a little bit of confusion around the education subcommittee, because I was under the impression that was something that that y'all as the staff were going to be kind of setting up and reaching out to us, those of us that had signed up for it a couple of times, but now I'm hearing that it's something that maybe Jim is going to be initiating. So I just wanted a little bit of clarity on like how that's going to proceed and like when we might anticipate meeting to start answering some of these questions, because I think we have an obligation to answer the questions that are being brought by the community members consistently.
Sure. I apologize. It's largely in my part for trying to take the lead, but this is a subcommittee of this committee, so it's something that needs to be formalized here. Our submission will provide all support and will attend, of course, any meetings, but the subcommittee is essentially running itself the way this larger committee does. I think Sadie can provide more info, and without any audio interruptions.
So for subcommittees, we will need at least 3 members of the PACTC to be present, and I will be there to facilitate the taking of minutes and the public notices. So I can assist with that, but like as far as creating an agenda and all of that, that should fall on PACTC members. So we do have your schedules, but if any of you want to put together items or suggest items for that agenda when we do have a meeting, first we'll have to like have the agenda before we could put a public notice. So just let us know via email on what items you would like to pursue for that first meeting, and then we can go ahead and start to schedule it.
So, Sadie, Wilwin, do we have members of PACD expressed interest on being on this subcommittee? And do they clearly know that they've expressed their interest, and do we have a list? My understanding is, as chair, I have the prerogative to form the subcommittee and kind of get it kick-started and running. Presume, does that need to be agendized at our subsequent meeting for us to say the committee's now formed, here's the members who are on it, and then the committee can then go off and meet on their own? Is there anything this committee needs to do to get the subcommittee rolling?
I believe it was already agendized. I can't remember what month. But...
Okay. All right. So
I'm not sure if it was agendized as an action item. It's been
Okay.
3 months, so I'll have to look back then.
All right. Well, between now and hopefully next month, I can work with you guys to let the committee, let the PACD committee know that the committee has been formed, set a date, and at least get a first meeting perhaps scheduled for just organizational purposes. And then from then on, they can set their own agenda to cover what they would like to
take on. That sounds great. Thank
okay.
you, Jim. Anyone interested in joining that already has it?
Right, we have Corinne.
I believe that four members of this committee months ago in the fall, maybe even September of last year, volunteered.
Okay.
Adrian was one. I believe Leanne was one. I was one, and there was at least one other person, a man. I can't tell you who that was, but I know there's an email that went out to all of us confirming that from the fall period. I'm just curious. We've been waiting and waiting for this subcommittee meeting to be called, and since those of us who have volunteered for it cannot call the meeting ourselves, I'm wondering what the time frame and process is for that happening, because last meeting, we discussed the fact that there were parts of the Tucson plan that we wanted to address or propose input to, and at some point that opportunity is going to be lost if we don't meet.
Yeah, so it sounds like, to formalize it, and Sadie, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll agendize this for next month with all interested parties to be listed on that item, and then it'll be formally created.
Let me check back at the legal action reports for last year to make sure that it was actually approved by the committee. I think there was a couple of the committees that were formed, but I'm not sure it was by an action item. So let me make sure about that. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but yeah, we will assist in helping you post the notices, and we will send in the agenda as well once we get your proposed items for that.
Okay, so to keep this ball rolling, maybe what I'll do is work with Arts Foundation staff and do a doodle poll as to when people may be available, and then set a meeting time and date for that, and just to get things moving ahead and not have to wait till ideally for our April board meeting to get this committee energized. I mean, unless we want to set a time and date right now, I don't see why we can't. And maybe we want to do it in 2 weeks on March 26th at 3:30 and call it good. But open to suggestions on that. And Leanne and Adrian have their hands up. So with that, Leanne?
Yeah, I was just wanting to make sure that that we had to have open meeting notification for our subcommittee. I just was wondering.
Yeah, it has to be agendized, and the public has to be notified.
Okay.
And I will be posting the minutes and the legal action report to the subcommittee after we meet.
Cool.
On the PACTIS BCC website.
Okay. Adrian?
Yeah, thanks. So Jim, March 26th works for me. But also, Wilman, the director's report, you said it got like a facelift and there were many other pages, I think, that you referenced that weren't included in the supplementary materials. And so I was just curious where we might access that.
There are actually less pages.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, what was there before, which is split up to like all of the overview in one page, all the specifics about upcoming projects on another page. And if anyone's interested in adding more information, I can see it. If anyone can put their captions and not change my audio at this point, but the captions seem to be working as I'm reading them and talking at the same time.
Okay.
Work in progress. As you know, the public art work plan every month is just an extension of the yearly one that we're going to work together on to put out in June for fiscal year 26. But if there's specific data that you're interested in that is both public and aligned with the plan, meaning something planned and not past projects, then we can add it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments in relation to the public art director's report? Again, I'll work with Arts Foundation staff. We'll set tentatively March 26, 3:30 for a Zoom meeting for the public art education subcommittee.
And Corrine has her hand up.
Corrine, thank you.
Willen, are any of the six projects that are noted on the third page of your report impacted at this time by any federal funding changes? Thank you.
No.
All right. Any other items on our public art director's report agenda item, other than passing a hat to get Willen a better microphone? So, okay. I've got one right here. I'll bring it down. Okay, guys, then we'll move on then to item 7, which is review and vote of the February 12, 2025 meeting minutes. Chair will entertain a motion and a second to approve. Upon a motion and a second, we can have some discussion, and then I'll ask Sadie for a roll call. So, do I have someone moving the minutes?
Motion to approve, Ms. Leon.
Have a motion?
Second, Maureen.
Maureen is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Sadie, roll call, please.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Corinne Cooper?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Thank you. Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Glocks?
Approved.
Janet Fisher?
Approved.
Maureen Lewick?
Approved.
Melissa Brandomiguez?
Approved.
Nancy Fong?
Approved.
Robert Clark? Valerie Sanchez? Valerie Sip?
Approved.
Brandon Varela? Kathleen Bevo? And you have unanimous approval.
Very good. Thank you, Sadie. With that, we'll move on to item 8, review and vote to vote on a subcommittee for the Navajo Wash mural deaccession. So this is a discussion, a vote on the formation of a deaccession subcommittee by the request of the Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association in accordance with the administrative directives for the Ascension of Art. So with that, Yu-Yu, I think I have you listed as this being your item?
Yes.
Hi,
everyone. Thanks for your time today. So we have a deaccession request for a mural that's been up since 2005. Let me share my screen. I have a little presentation for you all. Okay, can we all see this?
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay, great. Okay, so the Navajo Wash, as it's commonly called, it's located on Mountain and Fort Lowell. Its official name is the Crossroads Mural, and this is just a little segment of part of the mural. And the request came in from the Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association. So I'm going to just show a few slides as to the condition it's in and just go over, you know, some brief information about the mural. So the location of the mural is in a, it's considered a pocket park, and it's this little blue line in the neighborhood. So it's the southwest corner of Mountain and Fort Lowell. It is in the Department of Transportation Mobility's responsibility, but it is a part of, it's being rented out by the University of Arizona Park and Ride Lot. So it's part of the neighborhood. It has a lot of, you know, uses. And one of the reasons why the deaccession came in is because it's it's been well over 20 years. And there's been concerns about just giving it a facelift. And so how does a deaccession request come in? It came in through our submittable form, and the reason why we're talking about it today, the reason is it's due to its poor condition. I think Hanna has been wanting to, you know, just maintain the appearance of the neighborhood, and the deterioration of the mural is kind of detracting from that. That works. So, and part of the reason why the deaccession request came in is that the original artist seems to be unwilling to repair the work. The original artist is Michael Schwartz, and the mural spans around 180 feet. So it's, for the most part, the whole distance of the parking lot. It stands about 5.5 feet tall. And I have a few more images here to show you the condition. This is on the southern end of the mural. We have, you know, signs of graffiti. And to the right side of the image, just flaking and peeling of the mural. Here we have... Generally, the whole mural is in this condition where I think just over, you know, the years, the paint has started to flake off. There's some areas where it seems to be holding on okay, but the top areas totally flaking off. So there's that. And this area where it's in the center of the mural, I think this was a DUI incident. There's a car that drove into it. And what I'm guessing happened here is it was put together with, you know, the remaining complete blocks that were originally part of the mural, but not painted over. So I'm going to go back to the previous slide. You can see the pavers at the very top are painted here, whereas here it's a new material combined with the old mural. So here we did, so the site visit, this is about 2 weeks ago, and there were burn marks, and it looks like people were just, you know, creating little fires along the mural. And as I said before, the overall condition of this mural appears to be neglected. It's, you know,
flaking, probably from weather damage. Should have taken a whole scope, like a stand back view of the whole mural, but generally this is, you know, what appears to be happening throughout the whole mural. So I wanted to share this, the deaccession process, and where we're at with this. We got the submittable deaccession request a few weeks ago, and so we contacted the artist, and we have someone from the Hana neighborhood who submitted it. And so the next steps would be to assemble the deaccession subcommittee, which would require a minimum of 3 PAC-DC members, and optional professional arts professionals. It could be like conservators or maintenance people, and up to 2 city staff responsible for the area, and that would be Department of Transportation and Mobility. The requirements for the subcommittee would be to review the request, additional supplemental information. I can send over more images of the mural, review condition of the work, and make a recommendation to move forward, or I guess deny the request. And that's all that I have. We have someone from the neighborhood association who they want to speak to. Is that Adrian?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Adrian. Okay. Do you want to just, give us an insight into why you submitted the request and what you have in mind?
Sure. Thank you. I think your overview was very good in capturing the general condition of the mural currently. As you noted, it's not complete. There are graffiti in other areas, but it's at the end of its lifespan. Even if you dismiss the DUI, which really put just a huge hole right in the middle of the wall, the peeling paint and the graffiti show signs that it we'd like to make it brighter. I mean, we love the mural. There's good memories. I mean, it was a paint-by-number mural that many existing members of the neighborhood participated in about 20 years ago or so. And we have a proposal to replace it, but we can't move forward on it. And that is in the Art Foundation's queue. But before I think that can be taken seriously, we have to address the existing mural. And that was really the reason why we're saying, could we deaccession it? Could we cover over it so that there's no trademark problems? And we can then put something much nicer, newer, in its place.
Very good. Thank you. Well, with that, I think, again, we are seeking members of this committee to serve on this subcommittee. How many do we need, UU?
Sorry, muted. We need at least 3 PAC-DC members, and optional up to 5 arts professionals and up to 2 city staff responsible departments. So up to additional like 7, but we definitely need 3 PAC-DC members.
So with that, anyone who has an interest in serving on this committee, please step up and let us know. I'm happy to do so. Corinne and Janet. Okay, we got 3.
I live in this neighborhood, and I'm happy to serve on this subcommittee. Just for those of you who may not realize exactly where this is the park where many trees were cut down. There was quite a controversy about the cutting of the trees in this neighborhood, and so that's the pocket park that is the subject of this particular deaccession request.
All right, thank you. Janet, you want to?
No, I know which park it is, and I volunteer.
Very good. Thank you. Let's see. I saw someone else's hand. Nancy?
Yes, I actually live in the area, so I know exactly where this is, and I'd be happy to serve on a subcommittee.
Okay. All right, well, we have a subcommittee form, but I don't need to serve then, since it sounds like there's three other folks willing. But if there is the need for another body, I'm happy to step forward. Yeah, Corinne.
One other point. If the university is using part of this as a park and ride lot, we might want to have somebody from university transportation on this committee as well, not just the city, but somebody from the university as well.
Okay, that's a good point.
May I jump in on that? This is Adrian, we're Hedrick Acres. Jim Sayer is the director of parking and transportation, who has been our primary contact in this process. He's in full support of the new mural, but by all means, if you would like to contact him and get his opinion and input, he may be willing, or he may delegate it to someone else within parking and transportation.
So Jim Sayer is the fellow whom we should reach out to then to see whether or not U of A wants to participate in this effort.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Staff, do you have enough to move on to this? You good?
Chairman Guak, this is listed as an action item, and I would recommend that it is either approved or not approved before moving forward.
Okay, so I guess the chair will entertain a motion to form the committee.
I move we form the deaccession committee for Navajo Wash Mural.
Very
second.
Good. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Duh. I have a fight for second. We'll take Leanne. So you're next on my screen. So, okay, we have a motion, a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, Sadie, roll call, please.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Corinne Cooper?
Approved.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approved.
Emily Teese?
Approve.
Jim Guak?
Approved.
Janet Fisher?
Approve.
Maureen Lurick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez?
Approved.
Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Robert Clark? Valerie Sanchez? Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez? Brandon Brella? Kathleen Vilo? And you have unanimous approval.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. With that, we're going to move on to agenda item 9, and that's our public art highlight for the month. And with that, I believe we've got Penn here to discuss, but maybe Wilwin or someone wants to introduce this item other in advance of that.
Hi, can you hear me okay? I put in my AirPods. Sometimes they work with this PC, sometimes they don't.
They're working.
We can hear you better now.
Yeah, great. Earlier this year we talked about adding some positivity, some light to the end of these meetings, because sometimes they can be challenging. And, the highlights can be anything that's open. They can be driven by the committee. We can bring on guests, and that's what we did today. Penn has been getting a lot of commissions lately, largely because of her deep effort to community input and research and getting to know the neighborhoods and the folks behind the project site that she works in. So we wanted to bring her here today to share her process and her information with you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wilwin. I'm going to share my little presentation. Okay. Am I sharing? Do you guys see my screen? Okay, cool. Okay, hi, I'm Penn Macias. I am a muralist and I've lived in Tucson for 20 years. I painted my first mural when I was 14, which was a couple years ago, and I worked in public art for about 5 years. I like to say my aesthetic is colorful and whimsical and local. I love to pull in local icons and the environment in my work. This is two different projects I've worked on recently. I did a project for the town of Chandler. They wanted to celebrate their music scene, so I made these little desert animals at different spots of in Chandler. And then a project I just finished for Church's Chicken was celebrating South Tucson. So it was four murals, and each mural has a different theme within South Tucson. So that's my aesthetic. I love any opportunity to exercise my creative muscle, but my heart is really in community projects. I believe that community-led projects are the most authentic way to preserve the heartbeat of an area and to tell its stories. And public art really connects in everyone in any language, lifestyle, or background. They all can connect through art. And so it's just being able to like plug into a community and just serve as a vehicle to tell their story is just such an honor. So this is just a behind the scenes of a recent project I worked on. This is a Thrive in the 05. I love to like go to neighborhood meetings and really like get to know people, but the Thrive in the 05 project was just such a big area, and you know, there's such a history. There's so many people have been impacted by the 05 area, so it was sort of a challenge to really like cast a net to get stories and memories and input. But this is where the Arts Foundation is just so incredible in supporting projects, and they built this online platform with kind of targeted questions. Like it was a survey that community members could just easily write stories or memories or submit photos, and it was such a cool way to collect stories from the community for the Thriving Neo 5 project. The media was like super on board with this, and TEGA and KVOA and the newspaper and a bunch of online platforms all like really plugged the Arts Foundation's platform, and we got just phenomenal input on from the community for this project. And then the second spot little screenshot you see is that was a download of stories that Ariel had sent me of people who filled out the survey, and I wanted to make sure that anyone who took the time to submit anything for this project would be recognized in it, and it would influence the art. So the little highlighted fields are just representing which story or which part of anyone's entry was impacted. In the art, and then I wrote, participated, and just let them know like how their input impacted the project. So this little spreadsheet kept me organized. And then the third piece was so cool. The city of Tucson made an interactive story map so that you could scan a QR code at the mural, and then it would pop up this map that shows all the different landmarks that were reflected in the artwork, and then it actually told the story. You can see here, it told the story that the community put in that they had submitted for the project, so that their actual voices were authentically preserved in this project. So that's just a quick behind the scenes of that project. And then I wanted to tell you one more story regarding a project we're currently working on. This is the Gunny Barreras Memorial Park. Gunny Barreras was a Marine and a Army Ranger. He grew up just a couple miles away from this park in Desert Shadows. He lost his life in the line of duty, and it's just such an important story and such a you know, it's so important to authentically honor him in this artwork. And I started out trying to do like online research, and like I read a bunch of news articles and I watched some stories about him, and I started putting together designs based on what I could find online. And then the Arts Foundation helped me get connected to a city representative who was involved in naming the park, and they got me connected to a service member who had served with him, and he had a phone number for Gunny's brother. So then I reached out to Gunny's brother, Andy, and he invited me over, and I sat with Andy and his mom and dad, and we just poured through photo albums, and just they told me stories, and we just spent an evening together just really like learning who this incredible person was. And and I like kind of developed a friendship with the family. His mom actually called me this week just to like chat with me. And anyways, the point is through that connection, the designs, just the designs that now I'm putting together for this project are just so much richer and more authentic. And I guess the point, going back to what Lil Wynn said a little while ago, just like the human beings that are involved in a community are like our greatest asset in art. And so just forging those relationships and making connections are such a big success factor I've experienced in public art. And then just this last slide I wanted to share, I just wanted to just express how thankful I am for you guys. As I've like sat here and listened to you, you know, really pour your energy and time and being so intentional with developing our art in our city, Tucson is truly one of the premier cities in the United States, not only for our public art, but our, you know, just preserving our culture. And it's just thanks to you guys and, you know, the using your gifts and resources and in supporting public art that really makes Tucson what it is. So I just am so thankful for you guys. So that's all.
All right. Thank you, Penn.
Yeah.
Any questions of our guest artist today?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to say thank you, Penn. That was a really beautiful presentation, and likewise appreciate your dedication to engaging community members. And yeah, thank you for sharing about your process. And also, I love those earrings.
I was going to say,
whenever I feel nervous, I wear a huge earring, so it's to distract you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, I just wanted to echo that, Penn. Thank you so much for, you know, just being so dedicated as an artist and a community member here in Tucson. And it was just really delightful to watch your slide and to hear from you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Penn. All right. With that, we'll move on to item 10, which is request additions for future agenda. I think we discussed one earlier, and now it's escaping me, so.
Yeah, I think we were going to maybe have a discussion about the way forward for the free wall. Is that?
Okay.
Correct?
I think, if we don't hear from the mayor's office, Leanne and I will discuss that with staff in advance of the next meeting. If you have some pearls that you'd like us to consider, please email them to Sadie for us to be able to ponder. That'd be good. So, okay. Not hearing any other items on future agenda requests. We will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next month. Again, mark your calendar, April 26th, Steinfeld Warehouse. Should be fun.
Thanks, all.
We'll see you next month.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, our foundation staff and board members. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.